I'm from India. India has 1.3 billion people. When you go into the streets, you can see almost in every street corner a Hindu temple covered with Hindu gods, like 40, 50 feet high. And that's what the Hindus worship. They worship cows, they worship monkeys, snakes, they worship everything, because they are looking for a truth. We need to tell them about the true God we know, and so they can come to know Jesus.
Thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast. This broadcast is also available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can find it by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the podcast section of iTunes. This week, we are very excited to have Jacob Bira from Hope Ministries International in India. So let's get back to Jacob Bira now.
Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful for your love and kindness towards us, Lord. Thank you for your salvation. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters here. Lord, I ask you to anoint me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit and give me words to share with them. Bless everyone that is here this morning and continue to draw the people from the east, west, north, and south and fill this place, Lord, and do amazing things among them, and bless each and every family, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm very glad to be here this morning, and I want to share with you a little bit about myself. I don't know, you probably heard me a long time ago, just to remind you who I am and where I'm from. I'm from India. India has 1.3 billion people. And when you walk in the streets, there are thousands of people you will meet. And Indian people are very religious people. And they worship, they say, 3 million gods. But that's a little bit an exaggeration. But they have thousands and thousands of gods they worship. They spend more time in front of their gods than we do in front of Jesus. And they offer flowers. They sacrifice animals. And some places in the tribal areas, they still sacrifice humans. And that's the kind of religious life they are living. And when you go into the streets, you can see almost in every street corner a Hindu temple covered with Hindu gods, like 40, 50 feet high. And that's what the Hindus worship. They worship cows, they worship monkeys, snakes, they worship everything, because they are looking for a truth. And that's not their fault. We need to tell them about the true God we know, and so they can come to know Jesus. And we have 7 children homes, and 400 children live in our homes, and we have 300 evangelists. They're working in 300 miles area. And I want to share with you a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in a non-Christian family. My family didn't go to the church and didn't go to a Hindu temple. When we were growing up, my family was very poor. And looking for a piece of bread was a way of life for them. You heard the saying, clean up your plates. There are so many children in India go to bed hungry. I was one of them. When I was a kid, I didn't know Jesus, and I prayed to a God, God, whoever you are, why did you create me like this, There are so many people in this world have enough food and clothes to wear. Why do I have to live like this? You know, sometimes even though you don't call out to Jesus, when you call out to a God, but Jesus answers. And as an answer to my prayer, God sent a local evangelist, Indian evangelist, to share the gospel with us. We respected him as a godly man, but we didn't pay that much attention to what he was saying, because we had our own problem looking for a piece of bread. And he started coming day after day to share the gospel. And one day he said, hey, I don't have any place to stay. Can I stay with you guys? And we said, sorry, we don't have any room. It's like 10 by 10 thatched roof hut with mud floors. We don't have any room for you to stay here. And he said, I stay on the front porch. And we said, okay, you can stay. And then when he stayed with us, we had to share with the little food we had. And one day he told me, Jacob, I know what you guys are going through. I have a solution for your problem. If you want to go, there is a children's home. I will talk to them. They will give you food and they will educate you and they will provide you clothes and everything. When he said food, my eyes got big. I said, tell me where it is right now, we go. And to our surprise, there is no vacancy in the children's home that year. We had to wait for the following year. The following year, my brother and I were sent to the children's home. That's where they told me about Jesus. I was 13 years old when I went. When I was 14, one day I was in a meeting like this. I began to cry and invited Jesus to come into my heart. And he came into my heart and he changed my life completely. That same year, God showed me that he's going to bring me to this country and use me to help the children back in India and preach the gospel to the people. And I was so excited about that, coming to America. And I told my friends about this, and when they heard about me saying that, and they looked at me and said, who do you think you are? There are so many rich people are trying and can't go there. How can you go there? Who will give you visa? Who will give you a ticket? I said, I don't know all those things, but God showed me that I believed it. And I told my family, this is what's happening. Everybody laughing at me. So please, don't tell this to anybody. We just pray. And we prayed for many years for God to open the doors. I prayed, God, if you want me to go, you have to open the door. I can't go on my own. And then some years later, I finished my college education and I was working as a bookkeeper in the same children's home I was raised. And some missionaries from Ohio came to India to visit the children's home. And then they said, how would you like to go to the United States with us to work with us? I said, I know that's going to happen. And then I said, if you provide everything, I will go with and work for you. And they provided everything and I came here. After 1 year, I had to go back home. And then I went back home and I started praying, God, you said you were going to take me to the United States, and you did. And you also said you are going to use me to help the children and preach the gospel, but that's nothing happened there. But I'm back in India. What do you want me to do? And we have a prayer in our home every night before we go to bed, and every morning when we got up, we all the family gather and sing a couple of songs and read the scripture and pray, and then we go on our duties. And one morning my mother came over for prayer and she said, son, I had a dream last night that you are flying back to the United States. I had the same dream that night, and I said, Mom, I had the same dream. Then she said, why don't you go someplace and find out if you can go back to the United States. I traveled 400 kilometers on a train to Thomas Cook Travel Agency, and I showed them the card, and I didn't even know what to ask them. And they said, when do you want to go back? I said, I can go back. This is your green card. This is your permanent visa. I said, okay, I'll be right back. And I traveled back home, and I borrowed some money, and I didn't know where to go, no place to go. And I said, I'm going to go to New York. And from there, wherever you want me to go, you have to provide the way, you have to provide the ticket. Then I go. I came to New York, JFK Airport, and I was sitting there and waiting for like somebody's going to pick me up. And 2 days, I stayed there, and I was praying, God, I'm here, where do you want me to go? Then God reminded me a phone number of a friend in Louisville, but I didn't have any money to make a phone call. There was a phone booth. I was standing there and looking at that, and a man came over and said, I've been watching you for half an hour. What are you looking at? You never saw one or anything like that. And he said, I need to make a phone call, but I don't have any money. He said, give me that number. And he dialed the number. My friend answered here, and he said, before even I said anything, he said, if you want to come and visit me, I will buy you a ticket. Then he bought the ticket in Akron Canton Airport, and they issued me in New York. And I flew to Akron Canton, and he came and picked me up. I stayed there at night, that night. And the next day, another friend heard that I'm back here. And he said, he came to visit me and said, hey, I have an apartment. If you would like to come and stay with me, you're welcome to come and stay. And I moved in with him and ended up staying with him for 10 years. Then I was praying, God, I'm here. What do you want me to do? You want me to get a job, or you want me to start the ministry? Then people, God began to open doors to speak on radio and on TV and speak in small groups. And people began to send me money and saying, God spoke to me to send this money to you, that you are going to have work in India. And one mother from West Virginia, she sent me money like that. And I said, I don't have any work at this time. Please don't send me any money. And she wrote me back and sent another check and said, I don't know what you do with this, but God showed, spoke to me to send this money to you to help your people. I wrote her back and said, if God spoke to you, please keep sending the money. And I will start when God directs me. Then I had $725 to start the ministry. I was scared to death to start the ministry because I didn't know what to do, how to do. And I was praying, God, if you want me to start, I will start. But I can't do anything myself. You have to help me. I made a check for $725 and mailed that to India. And the next day, I got a letter from my family saying, son, this is about time for you to start helping the children in India. Then I thought, God, this is a confirmation from you. And 2 months, I didn't hear from them, and I didn't know they got my letter and the check. I was wondering what happened to the check. And 2 months later, they wrote me a letter and a picture of a building they have already built. And they started the building on June 5th. That's the monsoon season begins in India. And all of our neighbors were Hindus. They came to them and said, don't you know there's going to be heavy rains and you can't finish the building? And my parents said, we know there's going to be heavy rains, but God wanted us to build this building right now. Whether it's rain or shine, we have to build it. And they started building it. 10 days no rain, 15 days no rain. And the same people came to them and said, we know you are building this building and we are not getting any rain. We need rain to plant our rice fields. Please build the building quick. And some of them even came and helped them to speed up the process. And they finished the building on July 5th, exactly 1 month. By 6 o'clock in the evening, they finished putting shingles on the roof. And 7 o'clock, the monsoon began. You can't ask for anything better than that. And that's been a great testimony to many people. Many people came to know Jesus through that, and they still talk about that today. And today we have 7 children homes, and this is the 40th year. In these 40 years, God has done amazing things through the children homes. Hundreds, even thousands of children grew up in our homes, and they have jobs, and they are married, and they are living peacefully by knowing Jesus. And most of the children, by the time they leave the homes, they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that's an awesome thing to hear. And this year, when we were there, those 4 young men came back and introduced themselves to me, and we are so-and-so. We were raised in your children's home. And they told us the story, and they said, we are Christians now. We came to the children's home as a Hindu. We are Christians now, and we are married and have children of our own. Praise the Lord. And we also help evangelists to go and preach the gospel. We have 300 of them, and we support around 200 of them. And they are working in the remote jungle areas and some in the cities. And we provide them bicycles, drums, and lanterns. And they travel, each one of them every day, travel to a different village and share the gospel. And Sundays, they worship and have church services. And that's what they do. And we have a young man I met 3 years ago in the jungle area where we went to dedicate a bore well. We have been drilling these wells for the last 6-7 years. And when we went there, this young man came and shared with me his story. And he was a gangster, and he was a very bad dude. And he was running from the police and went to the jungles to hide. That's where one of our evangelists ran into him, and he took him in, and he shared the gospel with him, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And then God called him to preach the gospel. Now he is working with the young people in the tribal areas, and he told me the story. These young people are refugees from the next state, and they can go to high school in the local schools. But they can't go to college because they don't have any place to stay. Government don't provide anything for them like they provide for other children. And if you provide a place for them to stay and food for them, they can stay here and attend college. And I said, let me pray for that. And we prayed, and God opened doors, and we started a college dorm for them. 10 young women stay there and attend college, and 5 young men in another children's home, and some of them are already graduated and looking for jobs. And but most of them hear the gospel through our staff members, and now they are starting attending church services. Praise the Lord. And we are drilling these bore wells because our pastors, when they go to these places, they see the need, and they come and tell us, these people are so sick for malaria and typhoid fevers because of drinking bad water. And could you please help them to drill a bore well? So we have been drilling bore wells in these tribal villages. And because of that, their health's been improving, and their lives are being changed. They are, their hearts are being opened for the gospel. The evangelists have a free time, freely can go to these villages where we drill bore wells to share the gospel. And that's what's been happening. And you can drill a bore well for $2,000. That will change a village for Christ. And let's turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, the scripture that was read. From verse 37 and 38, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And here Jesus was in the cities and all the villages preaching and teaching and praying for the sick and healing the sick. And when people gathered, he saw through them the difficulties that they were going through. All these Israelites were going through difficult times rules and regulations they put on them by these religious priests and leaders. And also the political Roman government, they were imposing on them heavy taxes. Their lives been burdened and they were crying out for help. They were looking for Jesus to come and establish his kingdom, throw out all these people and establish his kingdom. And here Jesus came and preaching the gospel, but they were thinking this is probably not the same Jesus we are expecting. And they were not believing on him, some of them. And Jesus had pity on them, has compassion on them, and he was touching and healing them. He saw them as a sheep without a shepherd. A sheep without a shepherd, they are lost. They are vulnerable to wild beasts and dangers. And these people are like that. He saw them. And then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful. Pray, the workers are few. Pray for the Lord to send out more workers into his harvest field. There is so much harvest even today, and there are so many people in India never even heard the gospel. There is so much persecution is taking place in India. For the last 10 years, the persecution is taking place. Christians are being killed. For the last 4 or 5 years, it has been on the rise. And the government of India is even saying, India is for Hindus. Rest of the people, Hindus and Christians and Muslims, get out of the country. That's what they are saying now. So there is so many people need to hear the gospel. Please pray that God would send out more workers. We want to send out more evangelists into these tribal villages where they are controlled by rebel groups. They never heard the gospel. They need to hear. There are millions of them living in the jungles. They need to hear the gospel. Pray that we have many evangelists go out and share the gospel with them. Pray for India. We need the freedom. We don't know how long we are going to have this freedom. The Americans are not allowed to preach in India anymore. And they are saying if you come as a tourist, you go back as a tourist. You are not allowed to share the gospel in India. But you can share in our churches and in small groups, but not outdoors. So we don't know how long we are going to have the freedom. And pray that God would send more evangelists and give us strength to cope with the persecution and give us, pray that God give us ability to go and minister to these people. And there are so many people need to hear the gospel. Thank you so much, and God bless you all. Thank you, Pastor Terry, for this opportunity.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.